Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former Steelers running back and favorite and star on ESPN for a lot of years. How many years, Merle Hodge, were you with ESPN?
21 or 22.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
The 22
time,
is debatable because I was doing college football when we launched college football, and I was doing actually the broadcast here with the Steelers. I was in the booth.
Right,
you didn't know that because I didn't get to talk. But
that's because Myron Cope was in the booth
right back then.
I remember.
Just so you know, eventually, the powers to be at WTAE called us in after like week four, they wanted to kind of define the roles. I wish I'd have kept the paper, but I've never forgot it. They said, hey, listen, Bill Hillgrove's going to be the play-by-play, things up. Myron will lead, add color like he has done in the past, and Merrill will speak when spoken to. I swear, but I walked out going, yes, okay, at least I know now when to speak, right?
Yeah.
And I got to the next game, I don't think I said a word because nobody spoke to me.
Well, I will say, Merle, your story of how you got to the league and then excelled with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You were a fan favorite. You played hard. You ended up with 6 concussions at least, right? During your playing days,
and
that ended your career.
You say 3?
Yeah. Well, the Bears, I had 2. And ultimately what happened was I was improperly cared for with the first one. And that's where the whole problem is. That's where we don't have, or we shouldn't have issues with head trauma now, is now we're addressing the first one. You know, we're caring for it. We have the proper protocols in place, the evaluation process and treatment and therapy before you return to play. Okay, so that didn't even exist. The protocol was just so unclear back then. Like the Steelers in 1991 were the pioneers. They're doing cognitive testing because Chuck Knoll challenged Joe Maroon, give me subjective and objective information. I need both. Cognitive testing is created by Maroon and Lovell. They don't even really know what they're doing, which kind of tells you where the cognitive world is, what some of the greatest neuropathologists and neurologists in the world are. They don't even know to do this. So if Chuck doesn't challenge them, who knows when we eventually get there. But at least the Steelers are doing something that is historic. I mean, it had never been done, but it was a voluntary, you had to volunteer to do it. It wasn't mandatory. I mean, John Norwig really talked me into doing it. And if you think of the ignorance level at that time as a player, he follows me all the way to my car, and I'm like, John, stop. I mean, it's in the off season. I'm going to W&J to get in the pool. I've just got done working out. I'm not doing a 2-hour test. I wear a helmet. I don't need this test. What am I going to need it for?
But wasn't there also somewhat of a concern that is, if I subject to or admit that there may be a problem that could affect how the team views me and my long-term viability in the league? I mean, guys didn't want to admit that they got their bell rung.
We went through that era, too. And I would say this, which took me to the Pentagon, because there was that problem with the military.
Right.
You know, now, we collaborated there for this reason, because and this is what I established in youth football. I'm like, guys, football's a tough game for tough people, but it's also an intelligent game for smart people, so we're going to be smart. When we get hurt, we're going to address it right. So, you know, we started with the youth kids to really establish this is an injury that needs to be treated serious. If we take care of it right and return to play in the proper manner, then we remove ourselves from the danger. So where this became critical for the NFL setting is, you know, you got your livelihood, you know.
I mean,
I don't want to sit out, especially when I'm like, I physically can play, you know. And the military, keep in mind, is even a little, I mean, much more serious when you think of lives are on the line, okay? You know, and somebody who's in charge of men and has been concussed, that we're just discussing how you got to remove that guy, you know, but he's, you know, he's got to show his men, you know, he's tough. And this is about being smart. And you can be tough and smart in the combination. So we did struggle with that you had to get people to understand it's your most vital organ. Let's treat it like that, okay? And there's treatments, and if we remove you from the game, if you don't return to play, especially in that same game, and what I did in youth football is you didn't play the next week, too. It was just automatic. that window, that 2-week window, just gave you a much better, safer chance to return back to play without running the risk, if it were to happen again, that you could have second impact syndrome, which is extremely rare. I can't even tell you the few cases there are in the history of football. But if you just did that, which now we are in a position where we don't put those kids at any level in that environment, it is not, to your point, you know, like it was 10 years ago where that was a struggle for players. They understand the importance of it and the value of taking care of that injury before they return to play.
This is about CTE and concussions, and if they just read the title and that somebody's trying to take down football, you get a lot of pushback. And then your first question to anybody is, did you read the book?
Yeah. And if, you know, if it's usually a negative attacking flavor, their response is no. I'm like, well, how can we even discuss the book if and attack it if you didn't read it? I mean, at least read it. Because my, you know, John, you said you got a tweet with somebody going, you know, my kid's not going to play.
I only have one brain.
And listen, I can understand that. I'm a parent, okay? I've lived it. That's why I went on this search. That's why I went across this country into Canada, talked to every neuropathologist that would sit down with me individually and discuss this with me. And when you hear one after the other say basically this, Merrill, CTE is a pattern that we're observing. We don't know what causes it, and we don't know what it causes. We got people that played sports and had concussions, and then we have people who never played sports, never had a concussion, never had a history of head trauma. And that was when I was like, now say that again. How many cases? And when they start telling you, there's only 300 cases of CTE in the world in the medical journal. Okay, there's not 300,000 or 3 million.
And it's important to point out, CTE cannot be diagnosed until a biopsy is done on the brain after death.
Correct. And nobody's ever died of it. They don't know what it causes. They have people who have never played sports, which I keep going back to, but you never hear about that. It's just like football, football, football. And, you know, going back to that, the tweet you got, it goes, you have one brain. What was the ride you told me about?
Oh, the new steel curtain that is coming to Kennywood, which is supposed to be an incredibly smooth ride despite its 9 inversions.
Right.
4,000 feet, 76 miles an hour. This thing is going to be a ride.
Right. And you're going to be, you talk about sudden shifts, because when you hear about the word subconcussion, which quite honestly is not even scientific. They have not even done the proper steps to make it scientific, but part of what you'll hear people say is, oh, it's any sudden shift, because it's not just hits to the head, because hockey wouldn't apply. It's body blows. Then it's sudden shifts. So that means you jump on a trampoline, you have a pillow fight, you go on that ride right there, there's more sudden shifts right there on somebody 7 to 11, 12 years old you will ever find on a youth football field.
So a lot of people,
all of that would apply. But because it's not scientific and people act like they think it only applies to football, and it has absolutely, concussions can happen in any environment.
Sudden shifts because the brain moves inside the head.
And you know what? That's another misconception. You know, I go to one of the neuropathologists. I'm like, hey, listen, can I cut brains with you? And they're like, yes. So we set up. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You talk about informative and educational. You just said the brain shifting around. So I think most people think the brain is like jelly or liquid, right? The actual brain is like bread dough, a little firmer bread dough. That is actually what the makeup is. And then he's got three brains sitting out. Now, here's the first thing I see.
Oh, it must have been an interesting day.
Very interesting, because it was very creepy. I'll be honest. I walked into this, and it was a very interesting environment. He's got three brains sitting there. One, it aged 35, 87, and 101.
Wow.
Now, the first thing I said is like, how do you know how old they are? Because they all look the same. Just one of them was a little smaller. Because I'm like, when you hear the title, or you see a title, oh, it has a brain of a 65-year-old, when the kid in Washington State killed himself, who was 21. Yeah. I'm like, we think that the brain looks like, so you got a face to picture. So anybody who's 65 years old versus 21, if I put a picture up, you go, okay, this guy's older than this guy.
Right.
So I'm like, does the brain look like that? He's like, no. There's no such thing. Goes, sometimes I have seen 65-year-old brains that look better than somebody's 21. And tau that they talk about when they say disease, it doesn't mean you have anything. It just means you have what's like a freckle on your arm. Okay, freckle on your arm is a disease in the science world. I'm like, why do you guys say diseases? Because that sounds like you got a problem. And they're like, no, it's just, it's a pattern. It doesn't mean you have any cognitive issues. So they don't know what the how old those brains are unless they look at the date of birth. So there's no such thing as a 65-year-old shriveled up brain in a 21-year-old. That is something that's made up by the media.
But so, you write that if this was a scale of 1 to 10 of what's known about CET, maybe we're at a 2, but people were trying to react as if it were a 9.
Right.
And I want to, before we run out of time.
Yeah, because this will lead into the one thing I want you to talk about here. Ben Roethlisberger's reaction to your book and the information about CTE.
I respect Merrill a lot. You know, he is a very smart person and obviously played this game for a long time. And a lot of things that were said in that book are things that we need to just read more about, understand more, you know, and that's what I think he tried to do is just he wants to open people's eyes, not necessarily that one side's right or wrong, but let's be educated, because when we talk about head injuries, to me, that's, and to all of us, it should be, whether it's our kids or our own, that we should be educated on the truths of CTE, concussions, whatever it is. I had no idea until I learned more that there's ways that you can kind of regenerate. You can do exercises. And you talk to some of my former teammates that had concussions a lot when they played that are doing great now because they've taken the time to learn, study, and do brain exercises to strengthen your brain again.
You can actually strengthen your brain and recover.
Yes. Let me tell you this. That is where very few people know, but that is factual and scientific evidence of how the things we have for treatments and therapies and the way you can handle not only concussion, but mental health. And really a lot of things are vital and that we all control. If you look at all brain diseases, these things are a part of them. Obesity, sugar consumption, drugs, alcohol, opioids, and inactivity. Everything that I just mentioned there, that is a lifestyle that we choose to be a part of. You know, if you're going to consume a bunch of sugar, that's not going to be good for your overall health, including your brain health. If you're going to stay, if you're not going to be active, that could be a problem. Drugs, alcohol, and then two other things that we don't control. Age. I mean, nobody can control how old they're getting, but that's always a factor in everything. And then if there is a genetic issue in the family with something, that has to be considered with some people. It doesn't mean everybody's going to have that. But majority of it, we control. The things they've learned about brain health and repairing things, that's why UPMC, Mickey Collins. I mean, I brought my son here from BYU after he had 2 concussions in 3 weeks. They gave him a cognitive plan and a physical plan to repair himself after they identified the area he was vulnerable after his concussion. In 10 days, my son was a completely different kid.
Well, a lot of people are saying, why don't we know about this? I guess that's the reason you wrote Brainwashed, the Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. Merrill Hodge, I wish we had more time. Fascinating, because you clearly have done your homework. And if you have any questions, read the book.
It'll really help. If you're a parent, I'm telling you, it would really empower you with, because listen, your kid could fall off a bike. They could be in the backyard. It could happen. Slipping in a shower like my son. It doesn't just happen in an athletic arena. So, you know, the more we learn about it and know about it and how to take care of it, the better parents are going to feel about their kids staying active and being active.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, Merle. Good to see you.
Thank you for your
How about
your
them
time.
Steelers?
That's right, baby. Go Steelers, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.